Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It is Thursday. It is Coach Approach. The vets are reporting in just 2 days. Ant from 49ers Cutback. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. I am excited about training camp. This is the time. I mean, this is the time that everything gets started. You know, and we know that there's like some interesting stuff that happens in week one, but ultimately, once they get to pads, that's where we're going to really start seeing, you know, who's who. And the 49ers have real competition this year. You look at the depth chart up and down this roster. That's what I spent the last month and a half going over, is the roster, the depth chart. And now it's like we get to see these competitions. We get to see these guys compete. And I'm excited to see it because I do believe this 2026 team has the potential to go deep. So how deep is going to be determined by who stays healthy and ultimately how well some of these guys play. But it's an exciting time to be a 49er fan, that's for sure.
There are moments in my life that like instantaneously just like trigger the memory, whatever. And first day of pads as a player, as a coach, as a fan, that's just where it is. Like there's just a feeling that arises within where it's just like, oh, and I remember being in the locker room, and I remember as a player and a coach, just feeling like, dude, I can't wait to hit somebody in the damn face. And then I would look across and there would always be one or two. And they had that look about them like a scared deer. They were nervous about first day of pads. And it was just like, oh man, you better not line up against me. You better not. Like, I was not a very good football player. I was decent, but like, I was very violent and I loved the violence. I quit playing baseball because I was like, I don't get hit anybody but a ball. Nah, it's not for me. So yeah, like the competition, and this is why we love football. The controlled violence, you know, all that different, the Dre Green laws of the world. We need the violence in our life in a healthy way. And I think football gives that to us. And so like, today's episode is fun. It's been a while since Ant and I have recorded. And so we're going to be going over training camp battles, obviously. We're talking about that. Do the 49ers have enough pass rush? And I want to focus a lot, second part of today's episode. Who will Brock Purdy be targeting? We're going to take it a player-by-player approach. Who we think is going to be getting the majority of the targets from Brock Purdy. We're going to do it this or that through that episode. That's going to be a lot of fun. If you guys have questions, make sure to get those up in the chat. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Look at this, Shane in the house. 49ers football so close, you can almost touch it. It's right there, man. It is right freaking there. Look at this. We got John watching from Prague. That's what's up, man. My man. I freaking love that. It's just exciting to be back together, and I appreciate it. So let's start it off. You've been breaking down the depth chart like no other. And if you have not subscribed to the Cutback, 49ers Cutback, what are you doing, man? Probably most of you guys are coming from there. But if you haven't yet, go subscribe wherever you watch and or listen. The 49ers Cutback. So during your in-depth, you know, research, which training camp battles, we're only 2 days out, are the ones that are at the forefront of your mind and the training camp battles you're most excited about?
I think one of the weakest positions for the 49ers is safety. I think that that's one of the most intriguing. I think you've got four ingredients there, and they're all a little bit different when you look at those guys. I think Marquis Siegel's my favorite at the position because of the way he tackles, the speed, the athleticism, and the fact that he was just a rookie. And I get it. He didn't play great last season, and there was a lot of receptions on him. But when you're talking about the best tackler on the football team, it's him. But you've got the ingredients of him. Jair Brown, he's probably the best playmaker of the safeties that are available. Malik Mustafa, was it a sophomore slump or was it an injury? And I think the ACL did play a part in his development last year and how well he played. And then they added Ashton Davis to the mix as well. And you're talking speed on speed. Played in the Robert Saleh system, has a good familiarity with what's going to be asked of him. He's not a guy that's going to step up in the box the way that the other three guys do and play really well there, but he's got the ability to play on the back end. I think it's a very interesting room So to me, that's going to be one of the most intriguing, because the 49ers need better safety play in 2026 if they're going to become the defense they ultimately want to be. And yes, the pass rush is going to help. The linebacker play is going to be fantastic. I think the cornerback play is going to be better. But that safety room is the big question mark. And if the 49ers do get it figured out, and it is one of these young guys that they've invested in, I think that this defense can go from being top 15 potentially with the talent that they have to like a top five defense. That's how much the safety room could matter down the stretch, because they just got beat too much last season. I think that they need to get better. Really, the safety play hasn't been good since 2023. And that's ultimately what the 49ers got to fix. Raheem has done a pretty good job in the past. Can he do it again? And I think that's going to be one of the big ones I'm watching.
Yeah, and we talked, you know, about a month ago about how a healthy Fred Warner and the coverage, that's going to help out the safety play dramatically. So that's huge. You now have more cornerback depth. And that's one of the spots I wanted. Let's stay in the defensive back room. You had Matt Maiocco coming out talking about how there's a healthy competition between Jack Jones and Renardo Green. I thought that this was a little strange to me. Not because there could be a competition there, because Jack Jones signed a $1 million deal with zero guaranteed. Meanwhile, Nate Hobbs, $3.1 million fully guaranteed deal, not mentioned in this conversation. So not so much. I'm not trying to throw shade. I was just kind of shocked. Do you not see Nate Hobbs in this outside cornerback? He was signed way before Jack Jones. He hasn't played as much outside as he has. You know, Nate Hobbs can play all over the place. What's your take on this cornerback battle? Is it really a battle? Is it Renardo Green's? How do you see that?
Well, I think Renardo Green's, you know, got the leader in the clubhouse situation right now. I think they're going to give him the opportunity to go out there and prove it. I think with Nate Hobbs, he's interesting. You know, the 49ers kind of mentioned that they liked what they saw when they had the joint practices with the Raiders a couple years ago, and he was playing primarily the nickel in that slot role. I think that's what they look at him as. Now, Green Bay, they signed him as an outside corner. Did that work out? Well, we don't know for sure. Nate Hobbs had a lot of injuries. And then, of course, their defensive coordinator, who really liked him, moves on to the Miami Dolphins as a head coach. And so things change. But I do think that they look at Nate Hobbs as more of a versatile piece. I think they are still looking to run some Buffalo nickel type situations. I think they're looking to use him to help neutralize some of these 13 personnel looks, because Nate Hobbs is really good against the run, ranked 17th last year in run stopping. And then Jack Jones, he ranked 15th. So if you're talking about guys who play the run a lot better than Renardo Green, those guys definitely do it. Now, I was on this a couple months ago about Jack Jones. I think that Jack Jones, he doesn't go anywhere with an intention to be a backup. Jack Jones is just one of those guys. He's about business. He wants to go out there and be a dog. He's the ultimate opportunist going after the football. And if the 49ers are looking for an uptick in turnovers, Jack Jones is that guy. 8 career interceptions, 4 of those returned for touchdowns. He's going to push Renardo Green. I think this is the best situation for Renardo, too, because guys who don't shy away from competition are going to get better by being pushed by players behind him. I don't think Renardo Green was pushed last year by Darrell Luter Jr. Jack Jones is going to do that. Nate Hobbs is going to do that, too. And make no mistake, this 49ers defensive coordinator is going to give Nate Hobbs an opportunity. If he's the best player, they're going to play him at corner. They don't really care. They're looking to win right now. So I think Hobbs is in the conversation, but I think they see him more as a versatile piece that's going to play on the inside compared to the outside, which I think Jeff Hafley thought he was going to be an outside corner. I think the 49ers like Jack Jones for that role behind Renardo Green.
So do you see Hobbs kind of being that big nickel? You talked about the Buffalo nickel, which the Niners do, you know, they're above average as far as NFL. Man, why not just leave Upton Stout out there? I know he's small, but damn, he's so good in the run game. I last year, one of the things that just upset me the most is how much they took Upton Stout out of the game. So how do you envision, like, man, the 49ers paid more for Nate Hobbs than they have a corner in a very long time. You got to go all the way back to Richard Sherman. So, like, why did they make him such a priority, Nate Hobbs, if he's just going to be a rotational big nickel piece?
Well, I don't know so much if he's just going to be a rotational piece. I think one thing that they look at with these guys is how to use them in different sets. And I think they're going to be very multiple with their personnel groupings. And I think there's going to be times Upton Stout and Nate Hobbs are out there together. You know, maybe they pull their Sam back, or depending on the personnel they're going to play. Raheem is very unique that way, where he likes to get different guys on the field and do different things. And I think that's going to happen sometimes. I think sometimes you're going to see Nate Hobbs and Upton Stout out there, maybe not one of those safeties or maybe not one of those linebackers. I think they're going to take a look at getting some unique looks So that way they can slow down some of these teams. They're looking to find different ways for different matchups. And I think when you look at what the 49ers invested in with a guy like, you know, Ephesians Prysock and Nate Hobbs, and even with a guy like Marquis Siegel, these guys are all big bodies that can deal with bigger tight ends. And I think that's one thing they are worried about when it comes to Upton Stout. Upton Stout, you put him in the slot against a wide receiver, he's going to do a great job. Even a bigger wide receiver, he'll do a fine job. But you put him in there against one of those big 6'4", 6'5" tight ends, they can just body him. And I think that the 49ers want to have a guy that's a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical. And Nate Hobbs, you don't lose anything in the run game, but you also still get a little bit better coverage when it comes to physicality. So I don't like Upton Stout off the field as well, but I think there's going to be less times where he's just off the field. Maybe some that he's out there with Nate Hobbs, and they're kind of matching up with some of these unique looks that personnel groupings are going to in the NFL.
Yeah, and right here, Joe, you know, he asked, you know, is there any more information about Stout possibly moving to safety? I haven't heard anything about this. I want to keep him at nickel, full-time nickel. I value that position more than safety. I feel like the Niners value that position more than safety as well. But have you heard anything?
I've seen some rumblings, you know, around some of the 49ers content creators. I think that David Lombardi had kind of, you know, put that out there that maybe he was going to play some safety. I know that in the process of the draft a couple years ago, there were teams that were evaluating Upton Stout as, you know, a safety prospect. I think the 49ers envision him as a nickel. I could see some looks, maybe some unique hybrid looks, you know, a couple plays here or there where they put him in a safety position, maybe with a certain matchup or a certain look or a coverage that they're wanting to run. But for the most part, I think he's going to line up in the nickel. And why wouldn't they line him up there? Let's be honest, that he's probably going to be a you know, Pro Bowl caliber player this year. He improved so much last year. Lots of people putting him on that mark of going up and becoming one of those really good players, kind of a breakout star this year. And I think that Upton Stout's really good, but I don't see the safety snaps maybe the way some others do. But, you know, I've been wrong before, and it could happen again.
Oh, look at this. We got some crones coming across. Shout out to Thomas coming in from Copenhagen, Denmark. Appreciate the generosity. Good evening where he's at. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time here. Man, as somebody that came from, you know, France, I'm still a little not right. The wife and I, we're still struggling. I don't know how long this stinking jet lag lasts, but man, it comes 3 p.m. and I'm freaking kaput. It is not good. But I want to say thank you, Thomas. Really, really appreciate it. Now, there's one more position battle that I really, really want to talk about. And Steven came in with some of this as well. Can we hear the pros and cons of the running back to battle? In your opinion, not necessarily who the better player is, who's the better fit in the Kyle Shanahan scheme?
Well, I think it's going to come down to who catches the football the best out of the backfield and probably who blocks better on third down if those scenarios present themselves. I think those are two different answers. They are right now, especially. And, you know, these are both guys who have really not shown that they are great pass catchers in games. I mean, I think if you look a little bit of what James Madison, what Kalen Black did there, you could see some of the ability. But really, Jordan James, the 49ers talked about what he did at his pro day and how they thought that developed and how good he looked catching the football. I think that they go into this. I think Christian McCaffrey's running back one. I think Jordan James is going to start getting running back two reps. And then I think Kalen Black will get running back three reps early for the mere fact that Jordan James has played in the system. He's been in the trenches with this team. He's going to have a better feel. I think Kalen Black is going to have to go take this job from him. I think they're going to leave this open. I even think that probably once Isaac Grando goes on the PUP list, they're probably going to add something else into this running back room. Who is that going to be? Is it going to be anyone significant? Probably not. But I do think that those three guys right there, it's going to come down to who does things the most consistent. Both these guys are pretty similar in the way they run in short yardage and some of those things. It's going to come down to the key factors of blocking on third down and catching the football. And I would give the edge right now to Jordan James. But let's see what Kalen Black does. I think he's got a lot of ability. I'm hyped about what people are saying about OTAs, but let's see what happens when he gets out there in training camp and everybody starts going full speed, and then ultimately what we see when we get to the preseason games.
As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics, finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed, from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. You know, I just keep going back to, you go to that stupid Seattle playoff game, which was one of the worst experiences ever. He was the only guy that had any pop whatsoever. Now, hadn't played all year, definitely fresh legs, whatever else, but 4.7 yards per touch against that defense. He looked the part. He looked the part. And you know, you brought up blocking. That's Kalen Black's specialty. Catching the ball, that's definitely got to go to the side of Jordan James. Plus, he's been in the system for a year. But then you look at draft capital. Well, you spent a third-round pick on Kalen Black. You spent a fourth-round pick on Jordan James. So, therefore, you know, they value. That's going to go to Kalen Black's side. They're about the same age. It's going to be interesting. The running back to position battle is so important. One, Christian McCaffrey doesn't practice a lot in training camp. He's not going to dress. He might dress for one preseason game. These guys are going to get a lot of carries. You're going to have to make it through training camp, working your tail end off. You're going to make it through the preseason, getting freaking 10 to 15 carries in each preseason game. It's going to be kind of survival of the fittest, Charles Darwin type thing, because if you get banged up, which we saw with Jordan James last year, he got put behind Isaac Garrido, and he didn't surpass him on the depth chart till halfway through the year. I am very worried about the depth in this in that running back room. It is by far one of my most shaky positions, because Christian McCaffrey coming off that 400-touch season scares the daylights out of me. No healthy experience behind him. So am I too cautious? Am I too negative here? And am I like, where's your worry meter with the running back room heading into the season?
You know, I think you're right when it comes to health and experience. I mean, you know, someone brought up in chat, you know, Steven said about Patrick Taylor being there too. And I think Patrick Taylor does give stability, but when you're looking for somebody that's going to be dynamic and move the sticks consistently, Patrick Taylor's not that guy. That's why I do think that they need to bring somebody else in once Isaac Garrido goes on the pup list. I think it's almost inevitable at this point that that's where he's going to start. I wouldn't even be surprised if that's how he starts the season on the pup list. Mm-hmm. 49ers can free up a spot. So who is it that they bring in? You know, and I think that that's one of the interesting things. So I do have a worry about this depth chart, you know, and the room, just because of that reason. You know, what are you going to get out of those guys behind McCaffrey? McCaffrey having all those carries. I would love them to add somebody else. Who's that going to be? I don't know. But I do think that they could use more competition. They could use more veteran leadership. And you've talked about, you know, Christian McCaffrey not practicing a whole lot. That's a lot of reps for Kalen Black and Jordan James, which is great. Everyone likes a lot of reps, but there is a thing as too much reps for running backs when it comes to training camp and getting work in. So I expect them to bring a guy in. I wonder who that's going to be. You know, could it be a familiar face? You know, I don't know. I think the 49ers are looking to address that room. That's why people keep talking about guys like Deebo Samuel and others, because he could fit a little bit of a role there. He's not a plain running back, but he could take some of those snaps away and make things a little bit easier, a smoother transition when McCaffrey's out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting the way that it goes. Now, let's switch back to the defensive side. You brought up this question. Do the 49ers have enough pass rush? Last year, obviously not. 20 sacks, league worst. You bring in Raheem Morris, who's a pressure creator. He gets a lot of sacks, brings a lot of blitzers, manufactures all those different things. You trade for Oso Odighizuwa. Nick Bosa, you're counting on returning. You draft Romello Hite. Is that enough?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, this is one of the most interesting things because Mikal Williams is coming off an injury. Is he going to be ready to go early on? And even if he is, you know, that's not really what Mikal was brought in for, was these, you know, pass rush snaps off the edge. And I get it. They brought in Romello Height, and that's going to be great. But, you know, is Mikal Williams going to produce more than one sack like he did last season? And I get it. The injury cut his season short. Osadigizua is going to do good. I think that that's great. I think when you look at, you have one legitimate interior pass rusher in Osadigizua that is a proven commodity. You know what he can do. You know, Bosa can get, you know, 10 plus sacks. You can get double digit sacks. But you know, what's that going to be? Is that going to be 16 sacks between the two? How many is Romello Height going to get? Is he get 5, 6? Okay. Let's say he gets 5. We're not that far above 20. You know, we know that Sam Okwuanu is a 3.5 max kind of guy. We've never seen Keon White really have an explosive season. I think he's maxed 2 sacks in his career. There's not a lot of sacks to be found, and I get it. Raheem Morris is a very creative guy. He's going to have to be very creative. I wonder if they have enough pass rush right now. I think they got some, but I think some other guys are going to have to develop. Grayson Halton's going to have to be better. I think Mikal Williams is going to have to take the next step. Same with Keon White in the system. So I do think there's some question marks about the 49ers pass rush heading into the season.
It's funny when you're talking, it reminds me of Man on Fire, one of my favorite movies ever. Denzel Washington, you know, Christopher Walken. They're interviewing Christopher Walken, the police, and they're just like, tell us about this Creasy, this John Creasy guy. And he's like, you know, I can't do a Walken impersonation, but he's like, man could be great at anything, cooking, dancing, whatever, art. John Creasy is death, and he's about to paint his masterpiece, right? Like, that is the job that is being laid at the feet of Raheem Morris. Dude, you're going to have to get more out of what you are given. Now, again, the difference between Sala to Raheem Morris is, man, way more disguising, way more multiple, way more manufacturing pressures. This is what Raheem Morris has done everywhere he has been. And he's been with Kyle Shanahan a lot. So you're kind of hoping that you could see some of that. My answer to do they have enough pass rush is no, they do not. They really, it's improved from last year. But here, let's rephrase the question this way. 10 being the best pass rush in the NFL, 1 being 20 sacks in a season. Where do you put the 49ers on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as their pass rush heading into the season?
Probably like a 5. That's kind of where I see it, right in the middle. Because I do see more production. I think Osadigizua is going to help a lot. That's a big improvement. I do think Romello Height's going to bring some pressure off the edge. And then I think there's going to be some other guys that, you know, Raheem Morris is going to get involved, probably from the linebacker position, that are going to generate pressure as well. But I also throw in Upton Stout, because that was one thing that the Falcons did a lot last year, was bring pressure from that slot corner. And I do expect the nickel corner for the 49ers to bring pressure and Upton Stout. So I think they're going to be able to generate more pass rush. But to say that you're going to line up like 49ers of old and go 4-man pass rush and get after the quarterback, that's not what this team is built. And that's why all the conversations surrounding guys like Joey Bosa and Jadeveon Clowney, all those things continued to be there, because the 49ers need a little bit more. And the 49ers, are they going to get it from Mikal Williams? I don't know. I think Mikal Williams is going to have a better season as long as he's healthy. I just don't know what that production is going to be. And I don't think it's going to be enough to be another threatening double-digit guy like Nick Bosa.
No, I don't think that's on the roster. Shout out to Joe. He says, is it something worth mentioning that people are saying Height is too small? He's 6'3", 240. Definitely on the smaller end. Pass rush specialist only. Joe goes on to talk about how Raheem Morris had 2 undersized guys last year. James Pierce Jr., Jaylon Walker, both of them over 8 sacks as rookies. Does the size bother you whenever it comes to a player like Romello Height, or can Raheem Morris overcome that like he has in the past?
The only way it would bother me is if he was going to be a 3-down defensive end. Then I would worry about Romello Height playing the run consistently. But if you're talking about a designated pass rusher, guy's going to come in and rush from the outside, he's got enough length, he's got enough speed, he's got athleticism to move laterally, it's going to be hard to get a straight shot on this guy. And I think that that's what they're looking at, kind of that basketball crossover type mentality that he has. So if he was going to play, yeah, base down defensive end, we'd have concerns about size. But we've already seen Raheem Morris have this thing work. You brought up James Pierce and Jaylen Walker, but also Byron Young with the Los Angeles Rams as well, who I think is kind of the prototype for what Romello Height they see him as. So to me, that the first step is there. The length is there. I think he's going to be just fine. So I don't really have a concern about his weight because of the type of role that he's going to be playing for this 49ers defense.
Yeah, and, you know, I went back through and looked. Third-round rookies with 8 or more sacks. It's only been done twice in the past 4 seasons. Byron Young, who you talked about, and Kobe Turner. Both of them were coached by Raheem Morris their rookie year. So the only 2 times it's happened, Raheem Morris has done it. You're asking him to do it again. The player comp for Romello Height was Byron Young before the 49ers even drafted, and that's what we had in our draft book. They're just so similarly built. Can you get those same production levels out? That's a big question. Now, Big E says, you know, they need to sign a vet free agent edge. There's still good ones left. Clowney, Van Noy, Bosa. I'm completely out on Jadeveon Clowney. He's a mercenary. He just cares about getting paid, does not care about winning. 2 years ago, when the Browns got eliminated from the playoffs, he asked if he had to practice anymore and if he could just be done and not show up. I do not want that. Like, the coach in me just says no. We did the Devondre Campbell BS. We've done the I don't want. You got to love football. Clowney ain't that guy. Bosa, I think Bosa's done. Even Nick Bosa said he's working on his golf game. I'm not too interested in that. I don't know. Are you in the camp that, man, they need to sign or trade for somebody and bring another edge in? Or do you think there's enough in the room?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it if it's the right guy. I think, you know, somebody highly motivated to come in. I don't think it has to be at the beginning of training camp, though, either. I think that this thing can kind of stretch out. They can take a look at what they got, you know, how Romello Height is playing, how Keon White is adjusting to year 2 in this 49ers scheme, and really let this thing play out. Even Mikel Kamara, you know, what is he doing? Because if you're looking for more pass rush, that's another guy that can definitely do it. Now, once again, he's not a 3-down defensive end, so that's something to remember. You know, I don't mind those guys. I don't mind. I'm not a Jadeveon Clowney guy. I don't think you really need the base down guy. You need a guy that can generate pass rush consistently. But, you know, I'm not against Van Noy. You know, Van Noy, I think, would be a very interesting guy. He brings Super Bowl mentality. This is a guy that's played on a lot of really good football teams, and we know that he can play really well. And if you're looking for a guy, if you're Raheem Morris, it's a little bit more hybrid that plays like 3-4 outside linebacker role. That's definitely something that Van Noy could do. So I'm not against it. I do think it's not a bad idea to bring somebody in. I think there's a couple of little strategic moves the 49ers can make on offense and defense to kind of bolster their roster. But I don't think it's a rush either. These veteran guys don't want to be in training camp anyways. You can make these signings once you've let things play out and see who's going to play well. Because if the young guys do play well, what's the point of signing one of these other guys who's not going to get snaps? Let's let the young guys do it. So this is going to be a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah, and shout out to my man Rick on Twitter. He says, yeah, are they going to trade for Crosby? Now is not the time for that. I don't think the Raiders want to trade him. I definitely know the Raiders don't want to trade him to the Niners. The only possibility that you could ever have at getting Crosby would be at the trade deadline. And so you'll have to see. The good news is you'll have part of the answer. And I think this is the way the 49ers approach additions for this season. Let's see what we got first in training camp and preseason. And then address that, you know, with the cutdown, you could add players. And it's going to be back-end players. It's not going to be all pro players that you're trading for. You've seen these moves, you know, as the 53-man roster cuts happen, where you get Brian Robinson Jr., you get Sky Moore, you get players like that. You're not going for these all pro type players. It's just not built in with the 49ers plans and roster construction. Now, get red hot. You need a player right before the trade deadline. Then maybe you've gotten guys like Christian McCaffrey. You've gotten guys like Emmanuel Sanders. You've gotten guys like Chase Young. That's your bigger blockbuster items, but you're going to have to wait. None of those big moves are taking place at this point in camp. The 49ers want to see what they have and what they've built.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that 100%. They wait till the trade deadline, and that's the move that's supposed to put you over the top, right? That's the move that's supposed to give you a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And when they've made these blockbuster moves, it pretty much has worked out. You know what I mean? You look at the deals that they made. 2019 without Emmanuel Sanders, do they get there? You know, look at 2022, I mean, minus Brock Purdy's injury, Christian McCaffrey thing almost got them over the top. 2023, Chase Young. You know, there were question marks about Hustle, but he still brought a formidable force, and people paid attention to him off the edge. I think the 49ers will do the same thing. I think Max Crosby comes in the mix, but the thing is, you also don't know who else is going to be in the mix. The landscape completely changes about who's going to be available. There might be somebody cheaper that can get you over the top. So I do think that you're right about that. Another thing to watch, John, as this goes on, people talk about tight end for the 49ers. The Rams have five tight ends. At some point, they're going to have to release somebody or waive somebody. Don't be surprised if the 49ers don't try to actually get one of those tight ends.
There's going to be somebody. And I think the Niners actually wanted to add a tight end in the draft. But this draft was crazy. You know, we were live together. And that second round, like, we thought there was going to be a run on wide receivers. There wasn't. Only three wide receivers went in the second round. You had so many damn tight ends. And you had, like, fourth and fifth round graded players going in the top 50 at the tight end. Like, everybody's trying to catch up with that. There's going to be some guys available. Now, are they the guys that you want to start? Probably not. But the Niners are shy at tight end, and I do not think George Kittle's going to be ready. So that is a position I'm just pretty stinking worried about, if I'm going to be honest with you. It is there, but hopefully you get somebody. And now with Dinkins, you know, you're hoping Dinkins was going to be one of those guys. He's on NFI. Who knows? Niners don't even have to disclose that injury, so don't look for updates anytime soon. Maybe somebody asks a question. Maybe Kyle answers. I doubt it. He's going to be giving Lane Kiffin answers. I don't know if you saw the Lane Kiffin quote.
I did not see that.
SEC. He's like, oh, we're all going to die anyway. Like, you know, one of those Kyle answers. But yeah, so that's kind of where that is. Now, you know, so that's the pass rush. Now I want to turn, and I'm gonna put Ant's feet to the fire here. We're going to go through pass catchers. Okay, we talked pass rush. Let's go to the opposite side. Let's go to the offensive side. And I want to know who is going to get more targets this year between a whole bunch of different wide receivers. This is our this or that. I'm going to give Ant two choices. He's going to have to pick. And if he is wrong, we're going to hold him accountable. I don't know how, but Ant's not going to be wrong. Ant's never wrong. And we're going to get to that right after this. And I'm going to need you guys for this one because you're going to throw your names in the chat as well. The very first question, don't give the answer. Who is going to get more targets this season? Deshaun Stribling or Captain Kirk? Throw it in the chat now. We'll get to it right after this. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Oh, look at this. My buddy David Wallner coming in strong, asking, can I grow a real beard? I am not like Ant. This is it, man. I don't even shave over here. Like, my dad never even shaved his sideburn. Like, it just doesn't grow. But then you look at Ant, and it's just like, ooh, coming in strong, man. Coming in strong. So shout out to David Wallner. He's a Cowboys fan. Everybody treat him poorly. That is important. So here's the question. More targets this year, Deshaun Stribling or Captain Kirk?
I think it's going to be Christian Kirk. I do. I think he's going to have more opportunities, especially early in the season, whether letting Stribling work in. One of the things that I think that Stribling's going to do this season is have some opportunities to stretch the field. I think there's going to be some big plays from Deshaun Stribling. I do. I think they're going to find him, get him the ball down the field, and he's going to have some opportunities to make some big plays. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lot of yards per catch, that kind of thing. But I think when it comes to volume of targets, I think Christian Kirk is going to have the opportunity to do that. Not just because of what he's going to be doing on the field, but also the position he's going to be playing. He'll be playing some slot. He'll probably be playing some Z as well. There'll be times where Pearsall comes off the field, and I think Kirk will kind of slide in there and get some extra snaps. So I think that there's going to be some confidence from Brock Purdy and Christian Kirk. Eventually, it'll get there with Stribling. And I think Stribling will probably make a monster comeback as the season goes on. I think he'll have some opportunities, but I think Kirk gets more targets for the entirety of the season.
Yeah, right here. Everybody is leaning Stribling, and I think that's who 49ers fans want, right? Your new toy, that's your first draft pick that you had this year. Like, you want it to be Stribling. I like what Steven says. Kirk before the bye week, Stribling by season's end. It's going to be close. We got people fighting for Mac Jones. There we go. I appreciate you, Eric. I like that. Robinson more than Kirk. Ooh, that's strong, strong, strong. All right, let's go for the big heavyweights. Mike Evans or Ricky Pearsall, number one versus number five. Who is it that you think will get more targets on the season as a whole? Neither one of them played that many games last year. Definitely dealing with multiple injuries, both of them. Is this just a health question, or you're pretty bullish on Mike Evans in the 49ers? So I feel like you're going to lean pretty hard to number five.
I am. I'm going with Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is going to have a huge impact. I think he's got his body right. I think that last year he needed a year to kind of rest. I think he's kind of said that himself. And the injuries gave him a chance to kind of sit back and get things together. I think that Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are going to look to Mike Evans early on in the season. I think he's, you know, poised to have a really big season. And I think that he's going to get more targets. I think that Pearsall is going to get a lot of targets this season. But I do think that Mike Evans is going to get more. I think Mike Evans is going to be an absolute monster in the red zone. I don't think people realize how good this guy is in the red zone. And I think Brock Purdy is going to look for him a lot. And he's going to make a huge impact. Those jump balls, they're coming. Get ready for it. He's going to put it up for Evans, and Evans is going to go get it.
Oh, I just want Brock Purdy to work on that back shoulder fade. I want it so bad. I was watching, so like in the morning, I walk on this stupid treadmill and I put it on like highlights or something. I was watching Deshaun Stribling highlights from Ole Miss this past season. And there were like four back shoulder fades to Stribling. And I was just like, oh, come on. Like, if you could do it, Mike Evans, and then eventually progress to Deshaun Stribling, oh, man, unguardable. Those big body, you know, deep threats, unguardable. Eric says Evans going to get 10 plus touchdowns, near 1,000, give or take. I take it right now. I will take it right freaking now. All right, this one's a little bit more difficult. I'm giving you three guys. You got to choose one here. Most targets this season, Jacob Cowing. We're going Jordan Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson. We got a three-headed beast here. Which one do you think gets the most targets out of those three? Cowing, Watkins, or Robinson?
I'm going to DeMarcus Robinson.
Oh,
I think that,
man.
Yeah, when you look at this guy, you know, in the positions, he can play all three positions. So Kyle Shanahan knows what he's got with DeMarcus Robinson. And we've seen Brock Purdy and DeMarcus Robinson relationship really develop last year down the stretch. And it went into the playoffs. They were pretty seamless together. I think that, you know, Brock likes having guys he feels comfortable that they're going to be at, you know, the position they're supposed to be at. And DeMarcus Robinson is going to do that. I think that a lot of people are kind of sleeping on his abilities to still help this football team. And I know you want to keep the young guys, Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, but there's something to be said about having a veteran that's going to do the things you need him to do and do the dirty work. And DeMarcus Robinson is one of those guys. So yeah, I got D-Rob getting the most between those three.
Dude, I'm a little upset at how much hate and people are just looking past DeMarcus Robinson. You don't win the playoff game against the Eagles. You do not win that game. That dude was manned up with Quinyon Mitchell, all pro corner, and freaking ghosted his ass in the end zone for a touchdown, had over 100 yards. Like, I how quickly we forget. And, you know, we're talking training camp and all this stuff. DeMarcus Robinson was awesome in training camp. He had this suspension, kind of fell out of favor with the quarterbacks for that month. He was gone, came back, took a while to get up there. But, man, you go to that. You know, the Bears game, that was awesome. He was great. I'm just saying, like, DeMarcus Robinson still has a lot to offer. And, man, how, like, you don't win the Eagles game. And people are just like, man, I get everybody always wants to go for the younger upside guys. I totally understand that. But I feel like I'm getting a little crazy over here because I'm just like, man, why are we forgetting about DeMarcus Robinson? This dude is a for real NFL player that can help in the red zone, middle of the field. He can play all three wide receiver spots. Doesn't do anything in special teams, though. That's the big negative there. Okay, let me – I'm going to go back. I want to backtrack. What about just out of Cowing and Jordan Watkins?
I like Cowing to get more opportunities because of the type of play that he's going to have. The quick screens, some of the you know, the stuff over the middle of the field that he can take to the house, but also the fact that he's got the vertical game to go downfield. He's just a little bit different when it comes to explosive. I know him and Watkins are supposed to be both 4-3 guys, but Jacob Cowing's a little bit different when it comes to 4-3. Like, he flies. So I think that Jacob Cowing's going to have some more opportunities than Jordan Watkins. And I think Watkins kind of gets a little bit lost because he's an X receiver in the shuffle, where I think there's more opportunities for Cowing, for Kyle Shanahan to kind of find some opportunities for him to get the ball in space where he can make something happen.
Yeah, it's weird because Cowing and Watkins really haven't played much. One of them has to – one of them's got to play. Like, one of these guys going to make the roster, if not both of them. Something's got to happen there. Yeah, Cowing on that stutter. Like, I just remember that, like, 47-yard catch on the right side where Brock Purdy underthrew him would have been a walk-in touchdown. And then he didn't get another target all season. And it was just like, what the hell? Like, you finally have a deep threat. Put this dude out there. But Shanahan's go to Shanahan. And that's kind of where it is. Shane, he's giving me my therapy. Thank you, man. Shane says, I think because people remember D-Rob having a 15-yard head start to the end zone and getting caught from behind. He ain't fast. That is not what he is at this point in his career. Yeah, definitely not that. All right, last one on targets. This is the RB2 battle. Who gets more targets, Jordan James or Kalon Black this season?
Yeah, this one was probably the toughest one because I don't know how this thing is going to shake out with who wins, but I'm going to go with Jordan James. I think that he's going to have opportunities early on in the season. I think Kalon Black's going to end up being a really good player for the 49ers, but I wonder how quickly he gets into Bobby Turner's good graces and gets opportunities to get on the field. So I'm going to go with Jordan James early. But really, I don't think these two guys are going to have very many targets at all. I think that they're really going to be splitting a very minimal amount of targets because when you want to throw the football, you want Christian McCaffrey on the field. And so I think a lot of those are going to go to Christian McCaffrey. And then Kalon Black and Jordan James are going to kind of go splitting the scraps that are left over. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of touches. I think it'll be probably really close between the two. But I think Jordan James just has the edge because he's played in the system. I think he has a little bit more experience. He'll have Bobby T's, you know, favor early on.
Bobby T, baby. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm factoring in Christian McCaffrey missing a healthy chunk of the season. Almost by default. You look at the two times prior that he's led the NFL in touches, and he had even more touches than those times last year. He didn't last very long. Not that I want him to be injured or anybody to be injured. Man, I just want to say shout out to Nick Skorton, one of your favorite draft picks. Dude went down, you know, carted off the field today, the very first practice for the Panthers. He's like a young, that dude, stud. You called it the whole time. But, like, we got to remember, injuries, we're Niners fans, we know this. Injuries are a major part of the game. I'm almost just like default CMC's going to miss time. He's only been healthy throughout the entirety of the season three times in his career. Him to do that back-to-back times has never happened. Am I crazy and just thinking and assuming? Dude, you need more running back. One of these guys going to play a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they could. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens with McCaffrey. I mean, you're right. If you look at history, the guy normally goes down at some point. I just wonder if, you know, he's figured this out. He did carry, you know, the team a lot last year with the extra touches. I think that they've got a plan probably to give him less carries when it comes to touching the football. I think that's why Jordan James and Kalon Black are going to be very important for this football team, is they're going to get more touches in the run game the way that they did kind of with, you know, some of the other guys they've had in the past. Kind of let those guys have a little bit of the touch in the run game, keep them out of the passing game. McCaffrey kind of adjusts a little bit more to being a third down back, a red zone threat, a little less touches, but he's still going to get a lot of those carries. So opportunities for injury are there. I just think that they want, still, when it comes down to throwing the football, they want McCaffrey on the field because he's just so explosive and he's a matchup problem. So we'll see how the other guys develop, but a little more touches for them, that's probably very much a possibility. I think just more of those are going to be short yardage run game situations because Jordan James and Kalon Black are both very good run game, short yardage run game guys. I mean, Jordan James had over 30 touchdowns in the red zone when he played at Oregon. So these guys definitely get it done in those categories. Why not let them go be battering rams and let Christian McCaffrey chill on the sideline until you need him in certain situations?
Got to give Ant props. He was about a 25% way to his Nicholson impersonation in A Few Good Men. Deep down in things you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Yeah, that's CMC. And yes, when CMC has gone down, it has been red alert. and like you're in trouble. Hopefully Kalen Black can rise to the occasion. Hopefully, you know, Jordan James can rise to the occasion to where you're not so just dependent on just one player offensively. But man, CMC is just so damn special. He's so special. Yeah, you know, he's down there getting all the, you know, platelets and stem cells and all that stuff. And so is Kittle, and so is Colton McKivitz, and all those guys are doing that now. Hopefully, man, it would be great if the 49ers got the Rams luck and just stayed completely healthy for an entire year. Since McVay showed up, they've been the healthy, you know, top five healthiest team 9 out of 10 seasons. The one time they weren't, they didn't make playoffs. Can the 49ers get that luck? One time the 49ers were in the top five health-wise, that was 2023, until they got to the Super Bowl. And then a bunch of injuries started happening in the Super Bowl. It's kind of what it is. I'm pissing myself off as I'm talking, and I apologize to everybody. Now, last topic, I want to shift it up just a little bit. Defensively, this is one of the things I'm kind of curious about. If you had to pick three defensive captains, only three, who are the three defensive captains that come to mind? Now, last year, you only had two. I think it was just two last year. You had Nick Bosa and D'Amador Lenore. You only had two of them. But let's say there's going to be three defensive captains this year. Who are your early favorites that you're kind of leaning towards?
Well, of course, Fred, right? I mean, Fred's like overall captain. I would go with Nick Bosa. I think Bosa is still looked at as one of those guys. You know, I think you need somebody on the back end, and this is where it gets difficult. Normally, there would be a safety that you could count on. I don't think that one of those guys is going to be a captain. D'Amador Lenore, a little shaky for me. I like Osa Digizua. I like Osa Digizua to be one of those guys. I think just the work, you know, the way that he plays, the way that people talk about him inside the locker room, the things that are coming out from Dallas, this guy is a leader amongst leaders. So I like Osa Digizua for that role. I think D'Amador Lenore probably ends up still having that role. Just listening to some of the conversation, you know, George Kittle talking, trying to motivate D'Amador Lenore this year to get going. But I think that when you look at it, there's a kind of multiple players at certain positions, right? Osa Digizua and Nick Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, like those guys are the guys who have captain ability amongst this defense. Those who the guys I would kind of go with.
Dre Greenlaw's never been a captain. I want this dude to get that C patch so freaking bad. Fred Warner. Here's the three I would pick personally. I would go Fred Warner, Osa Digizua, and Dre Greenlaw. Bosa, I love, but you can clearly see the difference between Fred Warner, and that's not fair to Nick Bosa because nobody is as committed as Fred Warner. Tearing, you know, his foot backwards and then giving halftime speech, you know, it's different. It's not fair to measure against that. Demo, I don't think, showed enough last year as a captain, and yeah, we'll have to see how it goes because what happens is Kyle Shanahan says, quote unquote, the players vote, and then he takes the most votes, whatever else. A little bit of a North Korean election. I don't think he turns over the results or they're verified. I think he kind of says who he wants it to be, but I would not put that past Kyle at all. But, man, dude, Dre Greenlaw deserves a damn captain. Like, he deserved it when he was here. Ugh. And I like this, too. Is it too soon for Upton? Because if I'm putting a DB and I'm putting a C on that chest, Upton's number one. Demo, no. Demo's a no for me. I know he wore the captain patch last year, but like he did not show leadership in crucial moments. And even whenever he's made mistakes, he turns and blames other players. Like, that's not it for me. But I don't know. Upton, does that even enter into the equation or the conversation at all?
I think he's getting close. You know, I think that if he has a really good season this year, I think next year that's what we'll be talking about, Upton style being a captain on this 49ers defense. I just think it's a year early, only because he was a rookie and he had a lot of things that he had to go through. I thought he showed improvement. He did a really good job. And you can see him on the field. You go back and watch. He's very vocal. He has no problems communicating with his teammates, which is a big thing for captains, especially on defense. I think that he could be one of those guys that turns into a captain for this defense. I just think it's probably a year early, but I like the thought process. I think that's somebody the 49ers can rely on to kind of be one of those guys because they are lacking leadership when it comes to the secondary. I'm hoping that Marquis Siegel will take another step forward as well, kind of in that same category, because he's got the skill set around it. Is he going to be verbal enough, vocal enough? Those are things that I want to see this season.
Oh, I like it. All right, we got a couple questions that I got starred from the chat. Monkey Boy, appreciate you. More importantly, can Evans or Stribling throw a ball? This has been the Juwan Jennings role. So I went back and looked during the course of the show when Ant was teaching us lessons. Evans has never attempted a pass. Stribling, I couldn't find in college. But Christian Kirk has 4 attempted passes in his NFL career. So you still have Christian McCaffrey can throw the ball. So you have some of those options. I don't know about Pearsall. I don't know about, Stribling, but Christian Kirk has thrown the ball 4 times in his career and he's done pretty good with it. Anything you want to throw in there?
They'll have something. Kyle always has something up his sleeve. He'll figure out a way to get, somebody the ball that needs to throw it. Who knows? Maybe there's an offensive lineman that's going to sneak in there and throw it, or maybe a tight end. Who knows? He'll come up with something, but you're right. They don't have a guy that is a quarter. I mean, Juwan Jennings was a legit quarterback, by the way. I mean, this guy was recruited to Tennessee as a quarterback, so he's different level quarterback for sure.
Yeah, I like it. Uncle Rico style. Kenyatta, appreciate you. Can't wait to see you, brother. Any chance Kansas City or a Chargers party? Definitely ready for Atlanta. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Cannot do Kansas City. Too close to Christmas. Wife said no. But the Chargers, very, very likely that we just do because that's a Thursday game. It's really close for us here. Again, not finalized, but very likely, I'm going to say 90% chance we're going to be at the Chargers where we do an elongated tailgate because it's Thursday night game, to where it'd be like a 5-hour tailgate and then walk to the game together. That's what we need, more time to drink alcohol together. Stay tuned for that one and stay tuned for some home games information coming right there. Ben has a question for Ant. And again, for all those things, go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You want to party with us? Ben asked this. Who does Ant have winning the left guard spot?
I think that Connor Kobe is going to have the first opportunity. I really do. I think this is Connor Kobe's job to lose. I think this is what the 49ers want. I will say this. I don't know the health of Brett Toth. If you give me the health of Brett Toth, I think he's a dark horse to be in the competition for this. I think when you look at the run blocking, this guy moves really good on the second level. He was coached to another level in Philadelphia. So he's somebody I'm interested in. But I think Connor Kobe is going to get the first shot, and Robert Jones and Brett Toth and the guys behind are going to have to try to overtake him. So he's going to have to stumble. If he does, one of those other guys will be there because there's a baseline for who they are. There's a baseline for how well Robert Jones, he's at least a starting caliber left guard in the NFL. But I got Connor Kobe early, and then we'll see how it plays out.
We saw Connor Kobe get yanked multiple times last year. We saw the same thing with Renardo Green. We saw the same thing with Marquis Siegel. You see this. The Niners will do that. Now, some of these guys get chances to go back. A lot more depth there. So let me ask you this about Brett Toth. Did not play during OTAs. Do you think he starts off on the PUP or NFI?
I think there's a really good chance he does, yeah. And I think that that's part of the reason that I can't put him fully into this conversation. I think at some point he'll be ready to go, that might put him in the kind of the John Feliciano role where he's just a backup early to Jake Brendel, maybe with an opportunity later if there's an injury or something at guard to kind of step in. I just think when you look at those guys, he's one of the most talented guys there. He's still 28, 29 years old. There's still some opportunities for him in his future. So I'm interested, and I wouldn't be shocked either. I want to put this out there. I wouldn't be shocked to see Chris Furster go the rotation at left guard with Robert Jones and with
I love that.
Connor Kobe. So don't be surprised if you see that. I think he would definitely do that as well.
It's so clear to see who wins. And also, interesting of note, you did not even say Carver Willis's name.
No, I don't think Carver Willis fits into the real battles this season. I think he's more developmental a little bit. So I think that they look at him. He's maybe the eventual center replacement. We'll see. But right now, I don't think that he fits into that. They've got to figure out a way to carry him on this roster, though, which is going to be interesting.
But he's a fourth round pick. You don't cut fourth rounders. And that's the thing. Carver Willis, for me, is way too raw a player to go from left tackle to left guard without the anchor ability. That's one of his major question marks. That's why he's a prototypical center for me. But again, getting some validation here. Ant and I agree together. There's a Venn diagram somewhere with John and Ant in the middle. Is Carver Willis is a center only. So take that for what you will. And hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully Carver Willis is a Pro Bowl left guard year one. But I'm not so sure. Sonia, want to say appreciate Sonia. She's awesome. Will Greenlaw be a rotational piece? A healthy Greenlaw with a healthy Warner. The sky's the limit. They've never done this in the past. When Greenlaw is quote-unquote healthy, he plays every single defensive snap. Do you think they rotate him a little bit this year?
I think only with some of the secondary things that I think they're going to do, some of the unique looks. There might be more opportunities for him to be off the field, only because I think they're going to have other guys in for coverage reasons. But I think when they have a two linebacker look, it's going to be Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and they're going to roll with it. And Dre Greenlaw wants to be on the field, and Fred wants his guy right there with them. These guys go out there and they take care of business. So I don't think it'll be for reasons to try to keep him healthy. I think it's mainly just going to be because this is what they need to do to win. I think that's the whole thought process behind it. But ultimately, everyone wants Dre Greenlaw available when you get to the end of the season and the playoff time, because he's a different level when you get into those big games. He makes big time plays.
I argue all the time that Fred Warner's one of, if not the greatest coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Dre Greenlaw is a top 15 coverage linebacker. He's not Fred Warner. Nobody is. But, I mean, you just look at the plays, multiple interceptions in the playoff game against the Packers, the Seahawks, you know, stop at the one-inch line, having Travis Kelce fight Andy Reid on the sidelines in the Super Bowl. That was Dre Greenlaw that was doing that. So Dre Greenlaw is a perfect two-way linebacker whenever he's at his best. So pulling him off the field in coverage or run situations doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I understand the idea of wanting to keep him healthy, but man, it's hard to take 5'7 off the field, just like it's hard to take all the stalwarts, you know, off the field. Joe, is it likely at all that Garendo and Cowing return kicks? I'm going to say Garendo, zero chance. One, he got benched because he ran into his own players and fumbled multiple times. Plus the pec injury. I do not think that he is going to be on the initial 53, he'll have a pup, you know, designation, whatever. Cowing returning kicks, punts, yes. He's already fulfilled that role once. Kickoff, I don't know. Maybe. What are your thoughts on the kick returners?
I kind of like Kalen Black and Jordan James to be the kick returners. I think that they like the running backs doing it. Brian Robinson did it last year. I think that you get secure ball handlers who are used to kind of navigating space. I think that both of those guys would be good handling that. And so I'm kind of rolling with the running backs, you know, unless they make another move and bring somebody in. I think that those guys make a lot of sense. I don't think it'll be Jacob Cowing. I think this is Jordan Watkins, chance to make the team if he, you know, provides good kick return duties. But for the most part, I think they're going to rely on the running backs and shorthand guys. And it's not about getting touchdowns and kick return. It's about getting the best field position. These guys can get you out to the 45, 50 yard line occasionally. And I think that's really what they're looking for.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Right here, Notorious GAV with his always fullback questions, and I love it, my friend. Thank you for your generosity. Captain Juice, 3 years in a row? How do you take it away from him? He hit the decade mark, baby. Decade mark.
Yeah, he's full-fledged captain, and he's also going to be the ultimate utility player this year. I think he's going to play more tight end than he's played early on in the season. I think there's going to be a lot of looks with him kind of lining up, you know, as a move tight end. And I think they're going to rely on him a lot to play that role, because Jake Tonjes is going to need some help when it comes to catching the football. And I think Juice being in the tight end room just makes too much sense. The 49ers don't have to go 13 personnel, because 21 personnel, they still have Juice out there, and he's basically like having another tight end.
Yeah, they tried doing that week two last year, and then Juice got a little banged up, and then they were kind of screwed. Because you remember, Kittle got hurt week one. Week two, they tried doing that. Then Juice got banged up, and that kind of threw that plan away. And Kyle even said, you know, we were prepared all week for Juice to be one of the tight ends, and then he got hurt. So that's there. But yeah, shout out to Kyle Juszczyk. I would argue last year, maybe his best season of the 49ers, which is crazy. And I feel like there's a sweet spot for Kyle Juszczyk in that 20 to 30 snap range. You go back 2 years ago, he was playing 40, 45 snaps a game, lost his effectiveness, lost his consistency. He's a very old player. I love Kyle Juszczyk, but I think that his sweet spot's at 25 snaps a game. So I'm a little worried you're going to overuse him and he's going to dip back down in his efficiency. That's a big one. Big Tone, what's up, man? Maybe one of my favorite types of questions right here. Thanks for the super chat. What's the difference between Azeez Alshire and Greenlaw, Dre Greenlaw? Well, one, both are amazing. Dre Greenlaw proved a little bit last year. He's a will. So the communication, you got to go Azeez. Athleticism, got to go Dre. Azeez is unbelievable. And you could argue maybe one of the best linebacker rooms of all time in the history of the NFL was when you had Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Azeez, and Quan Alexander. Like, that was just, whew, that is some spicy, spicy stuff. But Dre Greenlaw is the better will. If you need a mic, I would prefer Azeez, but you're not going wrong. This is a Baskin-Robbins flavor of the week question, maybe a little bit more than who's better. But Greenlaw, I would argue, is the better player, more versatile. Azeez, what are your thoughts? What would you add to that?
Yeah, I think when you look at them, I think that's the big part is Azeez can play Mike. The communication's there. He can you know, go sideline to sideline just like Dre Greenlaw. He's pretty good in coverage. I would give probably a little bit of the edge to Dre Greenlaw when it comes to coverage. They're both very physical. I think Dre's just a little bit more of a knockout guy when it comes to the physicality and the hits. And a little bit more of a playmaker. But Azeez is very, very solid linebacker. Those guys are extremely good. But I would take Dre if I was looking for a will linebacker. But I'm with you. If I'm going Mike, I'm going Azeez.
Yeah, look at this, Wally. Greenlaw has a much more technically sound penalty after the whistle than Azeez. I'm not so sure about that. And what's crazy is both of them are enforcers. Also, both of them are two of the greatest human beings off the field. That do just so much, so many things for the people around them and society. You know, Azeez, Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination. Like, these are two of my favorite people in the NFL because I love that Mike Singletary approach where you're a good dude and, you know, all that stuff. But when you get on the field, you're trying to kill people. I love that. And we're starting the show like we ended it, Ant. Glorified controlled violence. I need somebody that offensive players are terrified of. Azeez, they are scared of. Dre Greenlaw, they are scared of. Fred Warner's the best out of all these three, and it's not close, but he's not like the Punisher. You know what I mean? Like, he's a technically sound guy, but he's not, he can hit hard, but he's not like Dre Greenlaw or Azeez, where he's just out collecting freaking, you know, freaking skulls out there. They're a little bit different. So, but man, what a linebacker room that was in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, even 2022, that's probably the best Azeez with the 49ers, with Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. That defense was the best 49ers defense they've had in the Shanahan era. It's a shame it went to waste because of the injury at quarterback, three injuries at quarterback as it would be. But yeah, I mean, that group was so good together. And that's why everyone's so optimistic about Nick Martin. Can Nick Martin turn into the next Azeez Alshire, a guy that can step in this year and play that Sam linebacker role and stud it up? Because he plays with physicality and intimidation, and he hits extremely hard as well. If you could get those two guys next to Fred Warner, that could be problems for some offense. I think he would make some people think twice about running through the A-gap if he's in the game.
Yeah, look at Tommy right here. Appreciate you, man. Azeez the throat grabber. Miss that guy. Sometimes you got to Darth Vader it. That's just what it is, man. Yeah, Steven, Dre and Z's looking to make you not want to come back after halftime. I used to say this as a coach. We do not play dirty. If you get a penalty, it better be because you're playing too hard, not because you're dumb. Like, I'm not taking dumb penalties. But if you're playing so damn hard and you get hit with, you know, a 15-yarder for unnecessary roughness and it's between the whistles and you're just playing too damn hard, I can live with that. Crime of passion, I can live with. Being stupid, I can't do that. And so sometimes that line is blurred with Azeez and with Dre Greenlaw. I definitely has to be mentioned. But, dude, you go in there and wallop somebody and suplex somebody, or you're punching the ball out and you're not stopping. You got to blow that whistle, ref. That ain't on me. And you play to the echo of the whistle until that whistle stops sounding. I still got time to hit you, baby. Oh, freaking, I love gladiators. I love warriors. I love Azeez. Oh, and you are the Aziz Alshire of 49ers podcast, and I mean that in the best of possible ways. We will not be having a show next week. I will be moving. Ant's got some stuff going on, but why don't you take us out? Let's wrap up the show. We'll take a week hiatus, and then we'll try to get back once training camp is in full swing. But, man, what an awesome show, Ant. I just want to say thank you for all you do for the community, taking time to listen to my ramblings and all these stupid movie references. Ant, let's wrap the show up, my friend.
Yeah, you know, it's a great show, John. I really appreciate you having me on. Like always, great conversations. And, you know, guys, we're going to be back. So you know what they say. You got to stay strong, faithful.
Oh, that's awesome.